Again, we'd like to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. This morning, we took our thought from verses 7 through verse 14. Tonight, we'd like to read the entire chapter, Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, not the four-legged kind. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let therefore as many as be perfect or spiritually mature be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye of us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Again, it's not our purpose this evening to look at these verses in an expository way, just center our thoughts around these verses. Paul, of course, was a man who very faithfully and steadfastly lived his life serving the Lord. He had consistently done so in the face of much opposition, in the face of many difficulties. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 11, we'll not turn there, but he wrote over there of trouble on every side. He wrote of uncertainty and persecution, of being thrown down and always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And he wrote that he had been delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Yet he remained faithful through it all. You go over to, again, we'll not turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through verse 27, he summarizes many of the difficulties under which he so faithfully and steadfastly lived for the honor and glory of the Lord. And when he comes to write the book of Philippians, he does so from a Roman prison where he had been cast for preaching Christ. Chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, my bonds in Christ. So Paul was a very faithful servant of God in the midst of much opposition, in the midst of much difficulty. And one of the things that to me is so amazing about Paul is the attitude and the spirit that he always seemed to have no matter what, no matter what was happening. And that is certainly revealed here in our text. As you read through Philippians, you see that Paul, in spite of and in the face of these adverse circumstances, he's still serving the Lord. He's still loving the Lord. He's still believing. He's still standing strong. He's still preaching Christ. He's still determined for Christ. He's still passionate and zealous for Christ. He still is very exuberant for Jesus Christ, and he's very, very eager to obtain spiritual excellence. And again, he's still not deterred. He's still rejoicing. Throughout the book, he speaks of joy and rejoicing. And all of this was in spite of. And it seems that his spirit, his attitude, never wavered, even in the face of great difficulties. And one of the reasons that he wrote Philippians was to exhort, encourage the church of Philippi, to exhort and to encourage the people of God, the saved by grace, to live a Christ-centered life. To live a life that reflects and manifests Jesus Christ. And this seems to be his theme through the book of Philippians. He is telling them to pursue Christ. He is telling them to always be moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. And of course, we find much encouragement for ourselves from this letter. And by way of encouragement to them, he testifies how he lives his own life. He testifies of his own spirit and his own passion for Christ, and his own longing and his own hunger for Christ, and to have more and more of Christ, as we saw this morning. But not only that, to have more and more spiritually. And again, what Paul expresses in our text is not something that occasionally came upon him. This was his everyday mindset. This was his everyday pursuit. And we saw some of the reasons for that this morning. But these words of Paul reveal his mindset toward spiritual things. And in verse 15, he encourages us to be thus minded, that we have this same attitude, that we think this way concerning Christ, that we be intent on these things, that we set our minds and hearts to these things. He also mentions those who would be otherwise minded. And those people, of course, exist. And his attitude was, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, what he's saying is, those of you who are otherwise minded, you're not going to stop me. I'm just going to leave you with the Lord, and the Lord will deal with you. And this was the attitude of Paul. Paul, as you read his epistles, lived on an entirely different level of spirituality than most, if not all, other than Christ. I want to speak this evening on a higher plane of spiritual living. I think one of the great problems that we all have is that many times we settle for the level of spirituality around us. And especially in these days, that's very detrimental. That's very dangerous. Rather than settling for the level of spirituality that is around us, we need to rise to a higher plane of spiritual living. We need not compare ourselves with ourselves. They who do so are not wise, Paul said. We are to rise above the spiritual level that is around us. Whatever that level is, we're to rise above that. We're to have a higher plane of spiritual living. I want to look, first of all, tonight at the pursuit of Paul, and we saw much of this morning. But Paul makes several statements regarding himself and Christ. And again, there is us, there is Christ. There is me, there is Christ. I have to put me somewhere, I have to put Christ somewhere. And where you put those determines your whole life. Determines your attitude, determines everything. But Paul makes several statements concerning himself and Christ. In verse 7, he says the last two words of that verse, for Christ. That ought to define our lives, for Christ. In verse 8, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. There in verse 8. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He realized that excelled everything else. Verse 9, or also verse 8, he says, my Lord, for whom I have, that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own. Notice there's a contrast there between him and mine own. There's always a contrast between those two. Verse 10, that I may know him, that I may know his resurrection, that I may know his sufferings, that I may know his death. Verse 11, that I might attain, lay hold of. Verse 12, I follow after. Speaking of how he extended himself. Also in verse 12, that I may apprehend or lay hold of. Verse 13, again, all of these phrases have to do with Christ. This one thing I do, speaking of devotion and priority. And we need to ask ourselves, what is our one thing? What is our one thing? Also in verse 13, reaching forth. Verse 14, I press toward. Verse 20, he says, we look for the Savior. So all of these statements reveal his ambitions concerning Christ. They reveal his longings and his goals, not only concerning life, but concerning Jesus Christ. They reveal his purpose in life. They reveal his focus. They reveal what is the center of his life. They reveal what is the object of his life. They reveal the priority of his life. All of these statements reveal his devotion and his commitment and his passion and his intensity for Jesus Christ. This is why Paul lived an entirely different life than those around him, because of this mindset that he had. These statements reveal his endeavors toward Christ. They reveal that he had great resolve for Christ. They reveal that Jesus Christ controlled and dominated his life. So you take these statements and they reveal the reason that Paul lived the way he did. And looking at and examining these statements, we see that life was all about Christ for Paul. He was absorbed with Jesus Christ. And his life was constantly moving in the direction of Christ. Looking at these statements, Paul's life was a pursuit of Jesus Christ. His life was a pursuit of Christ-likeness. We see that throughout these statements. It is conformity to Christ that Paul is seeking. He said again in verse 8, that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. That is, Christ was the goal. Christ was the prize. Notice verse 10. Being, present tense, ongoing. Being made conformable. Formed, fashioned unto his death. He's seeking Christ-likeness. Verse 11, he says, I might attain or gain or obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. That's a glorified body. That's Christ-likeness. That's perfect conformity to Christ. Notice verse 12. I follow after, if that I may apprehend or lay hold of, for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, I extend myself to go after, to lay hold of the very thing which Jesus Christ laid hold of me. And what is that thing? Why did the Lord save us? Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. We're talking about conformity to Christ. This was Paul's goal. This was what he was pursuing, to be more like Christ. Christ-likeness. This is what he's referring to in verse 13. When he says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He was always reaching, always striving to be more like Christ. If the people were throwing rocks at him, if they were casting him in prison, if they were stripping him or beating him, what was Paul doing? He was reaching forth. He was striving, even in that hour, to be more like Christ. That is what we all ought to strive after. He said in verse 14, I press toward the mark, which is Christ, which is Christ's likeness. He goes on and he talks even more about that Christ likeness in verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body. His mind is centered on conformity to Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is a manifest copy of God. Yes, he is God. But as you look at Jesus Christ as he walked this earth, you see how God would live upon this earth. You see how God would act upon this earth. And that's our standard. That's our goal. And that's what Paul had in mind. As you consider Christ and his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ served God perfectly in a world of enmity. And this is what Paul was striving after. Christ was obedient to his Father's will, perfectly obedient. In the face of opposition and hostility, he always obeyed. And this is what Paul was striving after. We should never be satisfied with anything less. Never be satisfied with anything less than the likeness of Jesus Christ. Christ was diligent. Christ was persevering. Christ was untiring in the work of God. And this is what Paul was striving after. Christ was pure. Christ was holy. In the very midst of wickedness and abomination. And this is what Paul was striving after. There are not many today who strive after Christ's likeness. To be like him. To act like him. But this was the pursuit of Paul. Now there are some prerequisites to possessing this spirit, to possess this attitude of, I want to be like Christ. There are some prerequisites, and we want to look at those this evening. First of all, there must be a proper perspective concerning the earthly in comparison to the spiritual. A lot of folks have that all mixed up. They have it all backwards. They put more emphasis on the earthly than they do the spiritual. You'll never have this desire for Christ's likeness until you realize the spiritual is always more important than the earthly. Verse 4, or verse 3, he said that he no longer has confidence in the flesh. There was a time when Paul had confidence in the flesh. There was a time when he trusted in the flesh. But he says, I don't put confidence in the flesh anymore. I don't put my trust in the flesh. You see, he got past that. And in order to have this attitude of, I want to be like Christ, you have to get past trusting in the flesh. You have to get past relying upon the earthly. You got to get past that. If you do not get past that, You will not strive for Christ's likeness. Notice verse 7. After he mentioned some things of the flesh, in verse 7 he says, but what things, those things that are mentioned in verses 3 through 6, what things were gained to me? Those I counted or I regarded as loss or as a detriment to me for Christ. He's saying all of those things back there in the flesh, I regard every single one of them as a disadvantage to me spiritually. I regard every single one of them as an obstacle and as a hindrance. And here and now, I renounce all dependence upon fleshly things. Most never get there. Most never get there. That's the first step. But Paul says, I renounce all confidence in the flesh. He goes on to say in verse 8, yea, that's a word used for emphasis. Doubtless, that is without any question, I count or I regard all things but loss for the excellency. He's saying the knowledge of Christ far excels all that which is of the flesh. The idea is that he held everything, he regarded everything to be worthless, comparatively speaking. He regarded everything to be worthless in comparison to Jesus Christ. And then he went on to say, and do count or regard or look on them, the things of the flesh, as dung. Again, he's speaking comparatively. He says, compared to Christ, all the things of the flesh are dung. There aren't many people who believe that today. But this is a prerequisite if we are going to strive for Christ's likeness. You and I will never reach a higher plane of spiritual living until there is no question in our hearts and minds that the spiritual is far superior to the very best things of the flesh, to the very best things of this world. The spiritual is far superior. We have to learn that lesson if we're going to always be striving for this Christ-likeness. There must be an advancing beyond verse 19. Notice what he says in verse 19. He's talking about the very enemies of the cross of Christ. And he says their end is destruction. But then notice what he says, whose God is their belly. That is, their appetites. Not just eating, but all their fleshly appetites. That's their God. That's what they strive after, to fulfill, to satisfy those appetites. And as you read verses 7 through 14, you see that's not what Paul was trying to satisfy. He was trying to satisfy a longing that he had for Christ, not some fleshly appetite. He goes on there in verse 19, and whose glory is their shame. That is, they glory in the very things they ought to be ashamed of. We have to get past that. We have to get beyond, we have to move beyond the vanity of earthly pursuits. There must be a moving beyond a fleshly mindset. There must be a moving beyond fleshly attitudes and fleshly aspirations if we're to achieve this mindset of Paul. Secondly, there must be a getting beyond mere religion. Read verse 5 and 6. Again, he's talking about the things that he used to trust in. And as you read verses 5 and 6, there are religious connotations. Paul moved beyond religion to Christ. You will never pursue Christ-likeness unless you can move beyond religion. Religion may follow certain rules, and religion can have very positive, very good effects upon an individual, upon the way an individual lives. But religion will not cause you to live the life that Paul is describing in verses 7 through 14. Religion will not do that. Religion may improve your life. Religion may improve the quality of your life. Religion may teach you morality. But religion will not give you this life that Paul had in verses 7 through 14. We also see, thirdly, there must be a dissatisfaction with present spirituality. As spiritual as Paul was, three times, he says, I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not where I ought to be. I have not yet arrived. I have not reached conformity to Christ. I have not reached God's perfect standard. He says this three times. Notice verse 12 and verse 13. Not as though I had already attained. That's the first time. He says, I'm not what I ought to be. I have not laid hold of everything that I ought to. Second time, either we're already perfect. That I'm not there yet, but I keep pursuing. And then in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul was not satisfied where he was. The day you become satisfied with your spirituality is the day that you begin a spiritual decline. The day you become satisfied with your spirituality, you begin to go backwards. There must be a getting beyond. Comparing ourselves spiritually to one another, and when we do that, we only have the perceived spirituality of others. And there must be a getting beyond of settling down somewhere spiritually. None of us have arrived. None of us are even close to having arrived. Paul, as spiritual as he was, said, I have not yet attained, but I keep pressing forward. I keep moving in the direction of Christ. Because I long to be just like Him. I haven't gotten there yet. And I'm not going to get there until He changes this vile body. But I'm going to strive for it, is what He's saying. So in order to have this mindset, we must never, ever be satisfied with our spiritual condition. You hear people say, well, at least I'm not what I used to be. That sounds to me like you've settled for something. Thank God that you're not what you used to be. But realize today that none of us are what we ought to be or what we could be. So we have to keep pressing forward. And this is what Paul is talking about in verses 7 through verse 14. Fourthly, there must be a forgetting of the past. He said in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting. That is a mental decision on Paul's part to let something go. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, the past, and reaching forth. Keeping the past in the present. And people do it all the time. They are bent on keeping the past in the present. And that will prevent you from reaching forth. You will never move forward spiritually. Keeping the past in the present. You will never advance to a higher plane of spiritual living. Keeping the past in the present. You have to turn that page and move on. Move on. And Paul just kept moving in the direction of Christ. And every day things will happen that will tempt us to move in a different direction. There will be people that will do things. There will be people that will say things. There will be people who will get in the way. But you just have to keep on moving in the direction of Christ. And this is what Paul was doing. So there has to be a forgetting of the past. Fifthly, not only must we not be satisfied with where we are, we must come to the realization that there is more. None of us have arrived spiritually. And the very ones who think they have are the most unspiritual. Realizing they have not yet arrived at the highest plane of spiritual living, realizing that he had not yet achieved the utmost experience of spiritual things. Keep in mind, this is a man who had been caught up into the third heavens. And yet, he realized that he had not achieved the utmost experience of spiritual things. And he realized, I know some things about Christ, but there's more. There's more. And there always is. Paul was a man of faith. Paul had great faith. But I believe Paul realized there's more faith out there. Paul was a man who had the power of God on his life, but he realized there's more power to be had. I believe Paul, the reason he could sing in the prisons was because Paul had the peace of God that passeth understanding. But Paul also realized, I can have more. I can have more peace. Paul rejoiced. Again, throughout the book of Philippians, he talks about rejoicing. But he realized that he could have more. Paul was a man of great assurance. He knew what he believed. He had convictions. But he also realized there was more assurance to be had. Paul was a man blessed of God. And Paul realized there were more blessings. There were more treasures. Paul realized that he could be more. He could be more loving. He could be more submitted to the Lord. Paul was very much submitted to the Lord, very much yielded to the Lord. But Paul never was satisfied, and he always realized, I can be more submitted, I can be more yielded, I can be closer to the Lord. And therefore he says, I follow after, that I may apprehend. I'm following after these things. I'm not settling down here. I'm not just drifting along. But I'm striving for more. I'm striving to be more like Christ, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark, says Paul. He's moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. Again, all of these phrases speak of his intense endeavor, his desire, his longing, his passion to have more spiritually, to be more spiritually, to do more spiritually. Again, he's not merely drifting along. God help anybody who's just drifting along. God help anybody who is satisfied with just drifting along because the majority of those around you, that's what they're doing. So again, you never rise higher than the spirituality around you. How sad. How sad. We have to move in a specific direction, the direction of Christ, with a specific purpose, with a specific object in mind. And that purpose and that object in mind is this: I want to be more like Him. I want to be more like Him. That ought to be our life. That ought to describe our life. Paul's mind was set upon spiritual excellence. It's sad when God's people strive more for excellence in fleshly things than they do spiritual things. That they put forth more effort in fleshly things than they do spiritual things. That's why it gets back to that very first point. We have to realize the spiritual is more excellent than the physical. That the spiritual is more excellent than the fleshly. Whatever our circumstances, whatever our stage of life might be, we ought to strive for spiritual excellence. That ought to be our aim, to be more like Christ. That ought to be our passion, to be more like Christ. When we find ourselves in the midst of trials and difficulties, we ought to be still pressing toward that mark. We ought to still be reaching forth unto Jesus Christ. We ought to still be moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. Trials and difficulties should not stop us, should not change our path toward Christ. When things are going well, in our own minds, and may I say, many times when we think things are going well, they're not going well at all. And many times when we think things are going bad, they're not going bad at all. But when we think things are going well, keep moving in the direction of Christ. Keep striving for Christ's likeness in all of our earthly responsibilities. Strive to be like Christ. Strive for spiritual excellence. In all the earthly privileges and opportunities that come our way, strive to be more like Christ. Never lose sight. I was saved to be conformed to the image of Christ. Oh, to be more like Christ in our thoughts. Oh, to be more like Christ in our decisions. To be more like Christ in our choices. More Christ-likeness in our emotions and in our feelings. More Christ-likeness in our relationships. More Christ-likeness in our homes. This is what Paul was striving for. To be like Christ. And if you would look at the life of Paul, you see very consistently he is moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. That ought to be our life. Consistently moving in the direction of Christ. Are we ever now and then going to get off course? Yes, we are. But it ought to be our longing to get back on course as quick as we can. Continuing to move in the direction of Christ. Here's what the devil does. You get off course, something has happened. You get off course and the devil sets you down there somewhere and he convinces you you have good reason to be where you are. That person shouldn't have said what they said. You have good reason. You just stay there. You never have good reason to get off course. You just keep moving. Keep moving in the direction of Christ. This takes determination. This takes resolve. Again, it all goes back to we have to realize what's important and what isn't. We have to realize what is most important. And what is most important always is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is always the most important. Always. My relationship with my wife is important, but it is not the most important. My relationship with you is important, but it is not the most important. My relationship with my family is important, but it is not the most important. It never is. My relationship with Christ is the most important. And we are to always be moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. Paul was a man who made a difference. Paul was a man who made a difference in the lives of others. Why? Because of the level of spirituality that Paul lived upon. But even then, he realized, I haven't arrived. I haven't gotten there yet. But I keep moving in that direction. And oh, what a blessing if every member of Home Baptist Church would consistently move in the direction of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. That each and every one of us would realize, I'm not where I ought to be, but I'm going to keep on pressing forward. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to keep on moving forward toward Christ. And that we would move toward Christ in unison as a body of Christ. That is a strong church. When the members are moving in the direction of Jesus Christ. Money in the bank does not make a church strong. Many, many other things, convenient, those are not the things that make a church. What makes a church strong is everybody moving in the direction Jesus Christ, striving, longing, having a burning desire to be more like Christ, and helping one another to be more like Christ. Never to be a hindrance to someone, but always helping them to move in the direction of Jesus Christ. And the best leader you can be of your home or of anybody else is you move in the direction of Christ. That's the best thing you can do. Just keep on moving. Just keep on moving. Don't stop. Don't settle down. Just keep on moving in the direction of Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.